Welcome to Bedknobs and Broomflicks, the podcast that talks about witches, man-witches, warlocks, sorcerers, and other magic practitioners in movies, television, comic books, books, and just about everything. We also talk about heroic and just plain awesome animals as our favorite familiars and witches in history. Sorry, this show will include spoilers. You've been warned. And my name is Jane, currently obsessed with a new CW show. Don't worry, this one won't hit our repertoire unless they start doing something about witches. Thank which they God. Haven't. You might like it though. I this is another one that I might recommend to you just to watch it because it's entertaining. I even showed an episode to my husband.
Which one is it?
It's called Two Sentence Horror Stories.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I then learned a quick history of where Two Sentence Horror Stories came from and why the CW got it. But it's entertaining. Like, there's some cheesy episodes because it's just a short, like, 15-minute or half-an-hour episode, and it's just compact within itself. But, yeah, like, some are cheesy, but some are actually really good and entertaining. So, yeah,
cheesy's not
just watching. Yeah, no, I think you might actually like this one. Oh, and I guess originally it started as, like, a Verizon show, like when Verizon was thinking about having its own channel. Yeah, and we all know that since I'm calling it the Verizon channel because I have absolutely no earthly idea what special kooky name it gave itself, it clearly didn't work out. But the CW did pick up the show itself and got to order more episodes. I was like, oh, that's fun. Anyways, you get to introduce yourself too, and I'm gonna stop talking about this new show that I'm watching or finished watching.
My name is Linda, but you can call me the Cheese. This week I am Cheesigil. Some old sounding witch name.
I was hoping for Cheesedale or
Winsleydale Cheese.
Winsleydale, Jesus Christ.
Okay. Cheese a Fred.
Okay, I approve of that one. That one's good.
But you could call me Sanderson. Cheese for sure.
Anyways, so today we are going to talk about the first two episodes of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. So episodes 1 and 2, which I am so, so happy about this because I have been trying to get Linda to watch this for so long to say, like, look, trust me, I know that it is technically a spinoff of Riverdale, but it is so good with less of the soap opera-ness of Riverdale.
I watched it, but for some reason, like, I stopped watching after a certain episode, and I don't know why. I still can't remember why, but it was just I may not even had a reason. Might have been one of those shows that I forgot to watch. I forgot to continue watching.
It's one of the downsides to having so much content available, is there's just so much content available. And I'm binging, like, old shows right now when I could be watching, like, other new too. Things. And it's like, well, I'm going to put this on my list and I'll watch it later. It's like,
okay, so Peacock someday I'll get to it. Doesn't support us, although they should. I've recently got the Peacock app and found out that they have all the episodes of Murder, She Wrote, and all the episodes of Columbo.
So oh, Jesus Christ.
I've been rewatching Columbo. I am so fucking happy with
it. I mean, I'll be honest, I only download the Peacock app to watch the Wilmore show. Larry Wilmore did just a short little series just before the presidential election, and then I think that was the run of it. I'm just hoping they give him another show back because I miss his late night show. I really do. And I love his podcast right now. So I'm just like, I'm so mad they canceled it. So yeah, that's the only reason I got Peacock, because I have no other purpose for it. You clearly have found a better purpose for it.
I mean, Columbo. Just one.
I mean, I'm sitting here thinking like I'm watching old TV, and I'm like, nope, never mind. Linda wins in the old TV. I'm thinking like, oh, I'm just watching. Like at some point, I'm going to go back and actually watch the Arrow series because I've only watched The Flash from CW, and I've been told Arrow's good. So, well, yeah, and also watch Supergirl and watch, you know, because there are things that I never latched onto, and now I'm like, oh, some of these mixed universes are really starting to confuse me. So, yes, at some point, I'm going to go back to watching all those, but then I'm also watching just like absolute like brain junk food right now.
Really?
I'm watching
watch
Lucifer.
Doctor Who.
I want to actually pay attention to Doctor Who, yeah. And right now, with what I'm usually doing, I need junk food. I need something that I don't need to concentrate on. Because yes, now I've decided to give myself another writing project. So that's my writing project. Writer's block from this writing project, I'm going to move into this other writing project, and that's about to happen again with my main stuff. So I'm just like, okay, well. And yes, I will send you a copy of the script when it's done. Right. I'm not going to tell anybody what my thought process is with this. It is so ridiculously stupid. But I can't wait to share what I'm doing later.
Hooray!
I know. Anyways, enough about my side projects and everything. This is what happens when we don't talk for a while. Yeah.
Sorry.
Stuff comes up. It's okay. I'd rather you get rest. Anyway, so yes, we're talking about Sabrina. It was created aired October 26th, 2018. Director was Lee Toland Krieger and Roberto, and I'm going to butcher his name. I know that's why Linda wanted me to say it, so because she always gets the joy of butchering names. Aguirre-Sacasa?
I think it's Aguirre-Sacasa. Aguirre-Sacasa. Yeah.
I never took I only took a little bit of French and none of the other romance languages. So I'm going to blame that on I chose not to do those languages and instead took other languages. So
I grew up in California. I'm sorry for my Spanish.
Yeah, I didn't. Thankfully, I didn't. We were required to take Spanish. We got more choices, and I decided to take 2 as a French, forget it, and then take Japanese instead.
That made more sense to me. French and Japanese, and forgot most of all of the above. So I wish I would have stuck with at least one of them. But Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa is the creator of the story, and writer, and these first 2 episodes are directed by Lee Toland Krieger, and I found a few things on either of them. With Aguirre-Sacasa, the writer-creator, he also has been a producer for Riverdale, Supergirl, and for Glee. And also he wrote Carrie, the 2013 version of Carrie.
Yeah, that existed.
I know. Like
there's the Carrie, there's the remake, mm-hmm. there's that sequel, Carrie 2. Yeah. And yeah, it's these things get confusing when people don't just kind of keep remaking or doing sequels. So I always have to remind myself what happened.
That's what I was thinking when I found out that he wrote Carrie. I was like, wait, the 2013 version? Now that's way too late. What? Wait a minute. Wait, how many remakes are there? Like, what the hell?
Well, and in my head, I feel like there's like 3 more. And I'm like, I'm probably right. wrong about that. But I feel like there's been a lot of Carries as well. Like,
I kind of love the first
like,
one.
Maybe at one point I remember the Sissy Spacek one. That's
your
it.
Dirty pillows are showing. They're not pillows, mother. They're breasts. I fucking love that.
I just remember plug it up, plug it up, plug it up.
Yes!
that scene, it's like, wow.
I wonder
high school's going to be a nightmare. You're going to see how old I was when right. I watched that movie.
Yeah, I was too young to understand a lot of what was going on when I first saw it. But I do remember thinking, like, I don't want to do the shared shower rooms. I don't want to be in a locker room.
I thought that was going to be a thing in like high school or middle school or whatever, and it never was. Because you never got enough time to actually shower, at least for girls, like after gym class. Like, because like I didn't mind it because I had been doing swimming in my elementary years all the way up till about, maybe middle school, I think. So it's like showering in a public, ladies' locker room was like no big deal to me. But I always thought like that was going to be a thing. And it's like, oh no, you have like 5 minutes to like get changed to go on to your next class. It's like, well, I'm glad that my gym class is in sixth period and I'll have seventh period left.
That was pretty much it. Like it with our school too. And we had lockers in the locker room, but we weren't able or we weren't allowed to use them overnight because once again, went to high school in California. So they didn't allow us to use lockers at all.
Oh, really?
Because that's where you put your guns. And
oh,
so and it was stocked in California above all places. So kind of a dangerous place. But we were on the news because we had a huge race war breakout during lunch period one time. And I remember my friends and I, we were kind of a little far from campus, but we were all looking at each other and eating our burritos for lunch. like is that a little fight going on there? Huh. Yeah, I think it is. Good thing we're over here.
Just another day in high school, huh? This is 100% normal.
We had security guards that were like moonlighting we had cops that were like moonlighting as security guards. But I guess not really moonlighting.
I thought you were about to say we had security guards who were moonlighting as members of the Klan. I'd be like, I'd believe it.
It was a problem.
Yes. But I was even thinking like, wow, did I go to probably one of the most affluent high schools in our district? And honestly, like our high school was just weird because, and I had somebody point this out to me. Well, when we still had it, because hi, COVID, if you're listening to this in the future, he is the high school wrestling coach for my old high school. And I remember we were talking about which high school I went to, and he says, oh my God, I have never seen the biggest wage in like socioeconomic income gap in that school except for there. It's like you're either really rich and your parents are buying you like a new Audi for like your birthday, or you are down below and you're thankful you get lunch. And I'm just like, yep, that's my high school. It seems to be the most preppiest, whitest high school in the world, but yes.
So you went to the high school from 90210.
I wish that wasn't true, but I every so often I look back at like my high school and you go through like I think I got rid of most of my yearbooks, but I'm like trying to remember all the hallways, and I think we maybe had 3 black students.
Oh my God.
Maybe. And like a lot of our, like we had a couple of Asian students, kids of Asian descent, but a lot of them were like exchange students because we had like a sister school with this God. Japanese school. So yeah, no. It was a really weird. Well, it was strange because like I wasn't supposed to go to that high school. I was supposed to go to a different one. And supposedly this one had a really good drama program, which... not really once I got to it, because the principal absolutely hated the arts department. Like everything that had to do with the arts department, whether it was music to theater to, you know, painting, he hated it and like tried to defund most of it.
But so, I bet it was all about like football and sports.
We had our own stadium.
Yeah, of course.
I can drive, like when we can, I will drive you by my old high school and you'll be like, why is there a football stadium in the back of the high school?
Son of a bitch.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I feel like that kind of works well with our subject today.
Oh yeah, surprisingly it does work well because also my former principal almost got into trouble for sexually assaulting a student.
Oh my.
Yeah, because he was like one of those guys who like if you had like sagging pants, and again this like I went to high school included when like white boys were trying to act like black rappers with the sagging pants thing, and so like there was a kid in the class who was wearing saggy pants, and he was I think the principal like this happened like a year after I graduated, the principal was subbing the class. Mm-hmm. And he walked up behind the kid and yanked his pants up. And yes, you can't do that. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yes.
My.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yes, he was a total dick. Wow. In fact, one of the guys in the theater department that I knew, his yearbook quote kind of sounded like a haiku or a short little limerick, but it was one of those things where the first letter of each word spelled out our principal's name sucks. Oh. Because the yearbook committee doesn't know how to break basic code. And a lot of people figured that one out immediately.
Excellent.
Because, you know, he was also a theater kid. So, yeah. Anyways, yeah, this does actually, like, the minute you mentioned, I was like, oh, yeah, like, that's probably why I hated the principal so much in this. It wasn't just his, you know, blatant sexism, Mr. Hawthorne, but it was also just, I was like, oh, yes, yes, this brings back memories of dealing with this.
But, yeah. Oh, Mr. God. Hawthorne is also played by Balky himself, Bronson Pinchot, from Perfect Strangers and True Romance, a bunch of stuff. Gotta love him. But yeah, he's big in the 90s, I should say. But I don't know. Do you feel like we should cover what happened in this episode?
Well, the first one, yeah, let's. I was thinking. Yeah, I was thinking we can do the first one and just kind of work our way through the storyline, because this was one of the ones we're addressing a TV show. I knew it was going to be a little bit complex because there's a lot of stories going on. Mm-hmm. So yes, and I was going to mention that the main character narrates her life at the very beginning. They drop that pretty quickly. Like, I'm going to try not. I'm going to be really honest. There's a couple things I was talking to Linda about this before the episode. I'm obviously completely caught up with the series, and the fourth part is going to be released in December.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try really hard to only spoil in quotes, you know, the first two episodes without talking about anything that happens in the future. But that means that if you have watched up to where I have watched, you know, certain things, like certain changes in characters, certain developments in characters. So for the sake of not spoiling it for other people in what happens, I'm going to be using names and terms that will obviously change as you go forward. And it's not to try to, I'm really trying not to insult how that story or how that character arc goes or how these character arcs go. It's more just I'm trying really hard not to spoil things because when everything happens and changes, I'm trying to be so vague. I want to actually have the opportunity to actually discuss it in full instead of having to do a quick like, okay, and then this happens later on, but we'll talk about it later and bye. So I'm going to be using some outdated words and terms and names, but we all know, the ones of us who are in the know that something's going to happen. So that will make this conversation make a lot more sense later. So yes, this is going to be a lot of Jane punching the wall because I also can't reveal certain things that Linda might bring up. And I'm just going to be, mm-hmm, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Not talking about this.
Yeah, so, sadly, I have not made it through season one yet, but I will. I shall.
Well, you're going to have to.
Yeah.
Yes, I purposely said, let's do this first instead of the one that you lost a bet on. That's going to come later. That's going to be my 2021 present. I'm thinking a birthday present. God, May God. Birthday. May. May will be a good time to plan this.
Continue.
Anyways, so of course, it opens up with, obviously, Sabrina, the main character, narrating her life, which I was really happy when they dropped this.
Yeah.
I understand the basic idea behind it, but they do drop this. Like, I think within, like, the end of the second episode.
Yeah.
So, which is perfectly fine with me. I think the one thing that I thought was... I'll go ahead. You go first.
One thing that annoyed me was that they filmed using a Panavision G series, which is where you get those weird effects where only the center is focused and the background or the edges are blurry. And it's sort of, in a sense, it's reminiscent of Evil Dead, but I don't know why. I just found it annoying after a while.
But maybe that's why you stopped watching.
It could be.
Maybe we're finding the crux of the issue.
Watching. Like, I kind of see what they're going for, but at the same time, it's just, I don't know, I find it annoying. It's not so bad when it's just, like, focused on one character and, you know, the background's kind of blurry. But, like, in the scene in the first episode where they're circling around the weird sisters, which we'll get to, while they're around her, Sabrina, it's just, it gets weird and just off-putting, like the lens and the focus effect. I don't like it.
Obviously that doesn't bother me at all. I didn't even know that had a term because I know jack about filming. So to me, it was just like, okay, this is the way it looks and I'm just enjoying the story. So, although I do admit that, like, I can also see, like, there were a couple of notes where I could see where you might be turned off by it. And it was them after, because the kids, you know, it's Sabrina and her boyfriend Harvey and her friend Roz and her friend Susie all watching Night of the Living Dead. And they're dissecting it as if they just read the Wikipedia page about how it's a commentary on communism. So it's like, guys, This movie has been out for a long time, and this has actually been discussed. Like, do you guys not have the internet? Because I don't think this show is not meant to take place in a weird pseudo world of the 1960s or 70s. Like, it's clearly updated because they have cell phones, among other things.
Well, that's what I like about it. Is it's like it's sort of anachronistic, where it doesn't really have a time. And, but like their fashions seem to be, and a lot of things seem to be from the 60s, but then you also see Ambrose using a laptop. So,
yes,
you know,
with a lot of really cool stickers on it and about to fall apart, which tells me he's had this laptop for a long time. And like, I think that's what he's using his necromancy skills for, is every time he dies, he just rises from the dead. Because they mention his, like, I like how he talks about bringing the bat that flew in to Sabrina's bedroom and died. He's like, oh, Zelda goes like, we'll have none of your necromancy, Ambrose. And I started to try to think, like, going like, when do we get to see the necromancy? And then I saw the laptop. I'm like, well, that would probably be a good indication of necromancy, because that thing is falling apart. But I I love Ambrose's character. Like, he was Ambrose the first one I fell in love with. Yes. Her cousin, who is incredibly old. So they play a lot with the ages, and this is not much of a spoiler, but they do play around the ages of how old these people actually are. Like, Sabrina herself is 16. They celebrate her 16th birthday, and she is 16. But they indicate that a lot of these, especially when they say that she's going to sign her name in the book, the Book of Night, that, you know, she's going to have a longer life expectancy. That's why she needs to drop her human world, because she's going to age very, very slowly while everybody else around her is going to die. So, that's why I'm really trying hard not to spoil stuff. I'm just like, oh, yeah, and just quiet, Jane. Just punch myself in the thigh or something. But that's why Ambrose's story is interesting. I'm still trying to piece together what exactly happened. There's a lot of character chatter, but I'm not going to talk about it, on why he is confined to the house and can't leave it.
It was because something like he got in a fight with somebody else, with another student at his academy, and he was kicked out. But in here, they say that he's under house arrest. Basically.
Yes. That's all we're going to confirm on this one, is he's under house arrest. I know why he's under house arrest. I don't know the full details because they never got into it, but he did something very, 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 very revolutionary.
Well, for this episode, we're just going to be talking in terms of these two episodes.
Yeah. So now. we're Yeah, we'll leave it alone. I'm just saying that Ambrose is my if he dies, I riot character because I love fucking Ambrose.
Easier in practice.
I know. Like him and Hilda. Like, yes. Oh, God, I love Hilda. I love her Aunt Hilda so much. And
me too.
I mean, the only other introduction to Sabrina that I ever had was obviously the 90s like sitcom-y show with Melissa Joan Hart. And the Hilda in that one was like kind of a lush. Wow. Whereas like the Hilda in this one is just... She's so happy about everything, but then every so often, like, her facade drops, like when she's talking to Sabrina about being scared, like how she felt mm-hmm. before she signed her name in the book, and you know how she had all these doubts and everything, and then she says, "And well, don't worry about it. You get some sleep. We'll think about something else."
I was telling Carlo about that. It's in the second episode. I think it's the second episode. Maybe the first.
Yes, it is.
She says...
It's in the second one.
Something like, "Sometimes I just want to go and set fire to the forest. Just set fire to the whole thing and watch it burning down." Well, you have a good night's sleep. It's like that.
I'll see you in the morning.
That would be the aunt that I would be. That would be Aunt Linda. Auntie Linda. Aunt Cheese.
I mean, it also helps that she was Diane from Shaun of the Dead.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I know. I fell in love with that so much when I found that. I was like, she looks so familiar. She sounds so familiar. And I looked up. I was like, oh, my God, she's that character. So and also, I mean, even Zelda, like she played Arwen from Lord of the Rings. And oh, that made me so happy as well. Because right now in the first two episodes, Zelda is a pain in the ass. Yes. And I completely understand why she... And I completely understand why people especially probably didn't like her. But her character... without spoiling things, her character develops so beautifully throughout this series. And you understand some of the reasons why she does this.
Well, as it she and Zelda and Hilda make me think of the Cain and Abel characters from The Sandman.
Yeah, well, especially when Zelda comes up when after Hilda's having her little pep talk with Sabrina and Zelda spies on her. And she just goes around and, like, kills Hilda and then buries her mm-hmm. and comes back.
I think it might have been Ambrose was asking, where's Hilda? And she says, she upset me or something like she upset me. Yeah, so I killed her and buried her in the yard.
Which I am curious about this, is because when Hilda does come back, she says at some point that's not going to work anymore. And I'm always curious if Zelda, because it tells me, because like Zelda comes off as very methodical a lot of times in her character, but she clearly also is very rash. Because if she thought about it, you know, it's like, yes, one of these days your sister's not going to come back. And as you see the relationship develop, you understand that Zelda would be heartbroken if anything ever happened to Hilda. Like that Hilda is her rock, basically. Even though it's like it feels like she's like, especially with like Ambrose's little like offhanded comment about Auntie May and
Auntie May and Baby Jane.
Auntie May and Baby Jane's offhanded comment about them both of them being like those characters. It's really not. They are like Hilda is not as dependent on Zelda as Zelda, I think, likes to think she is. And, well,
and that's why they make me think of so much of Cain and Abel in Sandman, because like she, it's not that she wants to kill her and keep killing her, but she's rash and that's just her personality. And Hilda is just kind of this innocent, lovable, I know that, is there like a feminine word for avuncular? I don't know. She's just, you know, lovable aunt material. And
she seems like that when Sabrina, after her, because Sabrina's parents die within a short period after she's born. Sabrina never gets to know her parents. They take her in. You always feel like Hilda would have been the more maternal one of the two. She would definitely have been the one who'd be like, "Oh, you fell and scraped your knee. You're here. Have a band-aid. Let's have a cookie and talk about how you feel." And Zelda would be like, "Stand up and stop crying.
Exactly. Walk it off.
My bone's sticking out. You can walk that off."
Exactly.
Get some duct tape.
I mean, she'd be concerned, but she's just also not, she's not as bad as Manon's grandmother, but.
Yes.
She's definitely in that category of not holding sweets in her purse.
Oh, no. I do think, and especially since, again, I know too much, but I do think that a lot of it is a veneer of, you know, like, mm-hmm. I need to be the strong one because clearly my sister is feather-brained and Ambrose is under house arrest. I can't do anything. I've got this little girl that I have to protect now. So I feel like her sternness and her, like, you know, trying to hold things together and feel like she's the most calculating person in the world is just her trying to just appear that way so she can protect the family. And again, she gets so much hate in the beginning because I know she is such a bitch, but I love Zelda so much.
I do too. And I love Hilda
and Ambrose are my first list.
Cigarette holder ring she has. I want that so bad. I want to start smoking again.
You already have enough health problems.
I know. Oh my God. But I feel like she needs Hilda. She doesn't want to admit it, does. But she needs Hilda.
Oh yeah, no, she really does. And as you go through, you're gonna realize just how much the two of them definitely need each other, and Zelda especially needs Hilda a lot. Mm-hmm. Although let's address one of the other female characters before I start getting into the high schoolers is Miss Wardwall. Yay! Can't remember if they revealed her name yet, but yes, when she gets
they haven't revealed her name yet.
Okay, but, good. I'm just like, okay, I almost spoiled that one. I'm just like, I'm so used to calling them by their names. It's like, yeah, no, that's who this person is. That's who this person is.
No, but she's played by Michelle Gomez. Fucking mm-hmm. love her. From Doctor Who. If you've watched Doctor Who, then you'll know her as Missy. And she's fucking amazing.
Yeah, and she's such a great character in this. The mm-hmm. one thing that I kind of wish is that I got to know who the real Miss Wardwall is before she gets killed by the demon that is clearly trying to get Sabrina to sign her name in the Book of the Night and become another follower of Satan and everything. So, because mm-hmm. there's, I just am interested in her as well. Because, I don't know, there's some stuff about her that comes up later on, especially since it seems that, you know, Sabrina likes her as a teacher and all the kids seem to like her as a teacher. And that even when she's talking to, you know, the person who kills her and takes over her body, you know, she talks about being like, you know, the unofficial historian and everything. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's, I don't, I feel like she had such a fascinating life and you kind of get tidbits of it as time goes on. But, you know, it's going to be a while before I can talk about any of those things.
But she's also such a demanding actress that just like that gets your attention, whatever she's in.
Yeah. And especially like now when she's as she is now, is possessed by a demon and everything, or just basically taken over by a demon. I love her character interactions with Sabrina, because I like the fact that Sabrina doesn't realize it's going like, this feels like a huge personality change. It's like, you seem very kind of meek in the beginning, and now you're basically telling me to find a way to torture the principal so I can start this girls empowerment club.
Oh, yeah, and torture these boys, like scare the hell out of these boys. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, both the things they did. I mean, the... you know, for Hawthorne, it was the spider thing. Mm-hmm. And we find out that Hilda's familiar is spiders. And they, you know, make it so that he has a nervous breakdown of, you know, seeing a bunch of spiders crawl all over him and has to take some days off so that the vice principal can take over and sign off on Sabrina's club. Mm-hmm. And then obviously when Sabrina joins up with Prudence to... get these boys who are harassing her friend Susie, the weird sisters.
I fucking love them. I love Prudence. I'm here for them. I know that they're supposed to be bitches and all, but like, I am so fucking here for them.
I they're the mean girls. Like, I even call mm-hmm. them the Regina, Gretchen, and Karen. Yeah. I'm sure that when you've watched it, you know which one is which.
On Wednesdays, we wear pink.
Yes. They wear the black with the white collars every day. But yeah, it's but going back to you know Miss Wardwell slash other character that cannot be named right now. It's just because you know she also becomes a bit sexier. Because like Miss Wardwell looks very like reserved and like conservatively dressed, and new Miss Wardwell comes up and like she's got like that push up bra going and everything, and she's just. But it's also again this is one of those things where it's like the first two episodes they're developing characters, but there's more to these characters. You know, like she's cowering before Satan because Sabrina refuses to sign her name in the book because she realizes that people lied to her, which. Mm-hmm. Yes, they did. And there's a lot to talk about when it comes to the Church of the Night. Yeah, it's like I said, it's her character. Again, these characters are just so freaking fascinating. That's why I was like trying to push you to watch this, because as you get going through it, it's such a great storytelling. You know, you kind of start to see when, you know, she's when Sabrina's first trying to be coaxed into signing the Book of the Night, and you know how, you know, the religion is all about freedom and choice and everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's trying to be the anti-Christianity of the bowing and the praying and, you know, the giving of alms and all the other stuff. And, you know, women have restrictions. And then, you know, come to find out, especially in the second episode, that, you know, she's basically being told the exact opposite, that she has to also pay homage to Satan. And Sabrina obviously is like, fuck this shit. No. Like, you lied to me, you asshole. Which Father Blackwood is a total prick.
Yay, Father Blackwood, who's actually played, I have it in my notes that in another time Faustus Blackwood would be played by Tim Curry.
Oh my god, you're right. But would he have the crack nail? Would he have the one long crack nail?
I hope so. But in this, he is played by if you've seen Coupling, the British original British version, he's played by the guy who plays Jeff in Coupling, and I fucking love him so much. His name is Richard Coyle. And,
I'm trying to remember which one was Jeff, because I did watch the British Coupling, but it's been so many years.
He's the one, that was kind of. Kind of the wild card sort of character.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes, now I remember. Okay, that makes sense now. Because I was like, I know he wasn't one of the characters.
Yes. He was amazing. But he wasn't there for the whole thing, unfortunately. He took off after a while. Yeah. But I think they wrote his character off by sending him to the Isle of Lesbos because...
Yes, of course.
Because he's Jeff. So it was great seeing him in this serious, like, dour character. But it was fantastic. But yeah, Father Blackwood is, I was going to say kind of a prick, but no, he's just a prick.
Oh no, he's a total dick. Like, again, so seriously, not to spoil anything, but let's just say that his established prick status does not change at all. He is the one where it's like, nope. He stays a prick for the entire series.
And so they bring him to the house to talk Sabrina into into writing in the book, writing her name, and joining the Path of Night. And because
she's half human, half witch, so she actually has a choice to stay human completely or to join up with her family, because her mother is supposed to be mortal, as they call it, and her father was this high-ranking warlock.
And her aunts keep telling her that this is what her mom and dad wanted for her, and that this is what she's supposed to be doing. And Father Blackwood tells her that, well, you don't have to stay in the academy. If you don't like it, then, you know, Satan's all about free will, so you can leave at any time. And she's like, oh, really? Okay, cool.
And then she goes to take her vows and everything, and it's like, oh, no, you can't leave. Like, you're basically in here. And Yeah, because she's trying to balance, and you know, you can understand this from a 16-year-old's perspective. She has her friends, she has her boyfriend, and they're basically saying, like, well, you join up with us and you have to dump your boyfriend and, you know, dump your friends and pretend you're going off to some elite posh private school and everything. Like, Ambrose is trying to convince her to say that lie, and Sabrina obviously doesn't want to do that because she loves her boyfriend.
And her boyfriend Harvey just told her that he loves her, so.
Yeah, which I maybe I'm bitter, I don't know, but when they're sitting and talking out on the stoop and everything, and, you know, she's asking him about, you know, if he found out that he could have superpowers, yeah, but he'd have to give up everything that, you know, he loves, including her, mm-hmm, he'd like, no, I wouldn't take it. I'm like, you're 16. Don't fucking tell me you wouldn't take that.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and also, I even from the beginning, I'm like, just like, God, she is so, even without being a witch, she is so out of his league. He is goddamn lucky.
Well, not only that.
You know, but she loves him. I mean, you never know. Like, she loves him, and that's all fine. She doesn't want to lie to him and pretend she's going off to a boarding school. She also hasn't told her friends, and her 16th birthday is coming up, which happens to be on Halloween, mm-hmm, during a...
Blood moon eclipse.
So it's a big, big deal for her to sign her name that night. And yeah.
And
although, can I talk about the familiar thing?
Oh, yes. Because
they have familiars and we obviously get Salem. I love the fact that there's basically a familiarmatch.com book. Because, like, Zelda's going through this book going like, oh, how about this, like, noble owl or something? Like,
hedgehog.
Choose a familiar out of this, like, dating app book.
Yeah. She's talking about her
like,
getting
no,
a hedgehog or a dog to go with, to be friends with Vinegar. Oh, I can't remember his name. Vinegar Tom. And
yeah, Vinegar Tom.
They just show this,
Vinegar
like,
Tom is
stuffed
a stuffed
dog.
Yeah, no, he's stuffed. And I actually had to look it up. I don't know if they've ever mentioned this, but he actually died around the time of the fall of the Berlin Wall. So, like, she's been dead for a while. Like, I was like, because I was going like, whatever happened to that dog? Because, like, again, I'm rewatching things or things I don't always remember. But then, like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's why I don't remember it, because he's he is basically a taxidermy basset hound.
So cute.
I know.
But yeah, she puts a call out to basically a want ad for
witch looking for a familiar BFF for life.
Yeah, and she doesn't want a servant. She wants somebody who she could help out. That was
a partner,
a teammate.
Yeah,
partnership.
Yeah, and I guess the idea is that familiars aren't animals; they're goblins that basically are meant, at least according to Zelda, to serve the witch, mm-hmm, and everything, or the warlock. But as Linda said, you know, she wants a partner, and they just take an animal shape. And of course, Salem pops on in. And of course, his name's not Salem. Salem chooses Salem's name because Zelda's like kind of repulsed by the idea that Sabrina named the cat Salem. She's like, no. Salem chose it. And this is the other thing that I actually like about the familiars thing is only Sabrina and Salem can understand each other. So you don't get like that weird puppet talking cat that they had in the 90s sitcom.
I didn't watch the show, but I have to admit, like, I'm a sucker for talking, like, or stories with talking animals or from, like, told from the animal's perspective. Like Racing with, or was it The Art of Racing in the Rain, and Kevin Hearn's books, the Iron Druid series, like all of them, I fucking love it. Not saying that I would rather have a talking puppet, like a silly character, but I was a little bummed that we won't be hearing Salem talk.
Yeah, Salem talks as his goblin form very briefly, and then it becomes a conversation that you only hear Sabrina's part of it. I mean, honestly, it's like the tone that they're setting for this, and you see the tone they're setting for it, especially in the opening credits, is a lot darker.
Yeah.
It makes more sense to have him not be talking. Mm-hmm. But Salem is honestly, his interaction, I mean, especially since I mean, they go home after, you know, she and Salem just out, like, walking and chilling and doing their thing, and Father Blackwood's in the house, and Salem, like, bolts the other way.
And
she's like, where are you going? And it's like, he's like, nope, not dealing with that shit.
So. And the comic,
I mean, you don't hear that, but you get the sense.
The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina comic, apparently the Salem is actually a warlock who broke the witching laws or whatever, and he's been sentenced to live in the form of a cat.
Well, he is a very cute cat.
He's okay? a cute kitty.
And he is going to be he's clearly going to be spoiled by Sabrina because, yeah, even Zella's like, why are you giving him that? And it's like, well, because he's my friend. And yeah, she's just breaking all the rules even before she signs her name in the book. She's like, well, yeah, but I like to do it the old school way where I just send out a little want ad and everything, not pick him out of a, you know, match.com book for familiars. Yes, a catalog.
Oh, catalog. Oh, ha-ha.
Oh, God.
I hate puns. Anyway.
Yeah, you made it. I didn't.
I know. I hate myself a little bit for it. But she, apparently, Kiernan Shipka, the girl who plays Sabrina, is actually allergic to kitties.
Oh.
I know. Much like me. But that doesn't stop me from having a million.
Well, how badly allergic? Because, you know, anaphylactic shock versus a little sneezes is, you know, a big range there.
Well, I looked up a few things about Kiernan Shipka since we're... you know, we're talking about her show that she stars in. Apparently, she played Marnie in When Marnie Was There. And I didn't realize this. She played Kathy in Flowers in the Attic, the Lifetime version.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, huh.
So that's cool.
I didn't watch the Lifetime version. I just heard that the Lifetime version actually had the incest versus the original movie that they did for Flowers in the Attic.
It was a little more true.
Where they cut out the incest.
But it was actually really good. They had some great actors in there too, including Rose McIver. Fucking love her. Of iZombie fame. But most people would know her, Kiernan Shipka, as being Sally in Mad Men. I certainly loved it. And
I remember my husband watching some of it and he got bored with it. And I just, it's one of those things where it's like, I'll probably watch this someday. And I just never got around to it.
I watched it. I loved it. But I can also see where you'd be like, ugh. It takes a little while to pick up too. But she does an amazing job in it. And apparently she has a black belt in Taekwondo.
Oh. Yeah,
fun fact.
Well, then. Damn.
And
okay.
Playing her boyfriend, Harvey Crinkle, is Ross Lynch, who is known for being Austin in Austin and Ally, which is apparently it's a Disney Channel joint. He was also in another Disney Channel joint in Teen Beach Movie. He played Brady. But many of us may know him as Little Jeff Dahmer in My Friend Dahmer. So,
I will say this, like, as much as I do think that Harvey, the character Harvey, obviously is way, like, you know, is way out of Sabrina's league. Mm-hmm. I do think that he has a lot of good qualities that make him a really great boyfriend. Everything from him being like a humongous feminist in a town that's clearly a very backwater mining town would be the best way to describe it. I mean, especially when you get to know who his family is. It's like the fact that he has these views and he's this really like gentle and gifted artist and everything. It's, you know, like even Ambrose is like looking at his artwork and commenting how cool it is and stuff. It's, I mean, I gotta love him for that. Like he's just a lovable goofball. Like, and that's, I can understand him being like a really good boyfriend in that sense. It's just, you know, it's like for Sabrina, especially like who she is and everything. It's like, I can understand wanting normal, but she's putting that lovable goofball at risk. So...
Well, and
you know,
I realized.
I mean, one of their teachers is already dead because of and Sabrina doesn't even know that yet.
Yeah, she doesn't know. To be fair,
yes,
I realized that we got off on the Carrie tangent before I could talk about Lee Toland Krieger, the director for the first couple episodes. Oh, okay. Really quick, he wrote and directed The Vicious Kind and December Ends. But he also directed 4 episodes of Riverdale, 2 episodes of You, 2 episodes of Shadow and Bone, which is in post-production, and 1 episode each of Superman and Lois, which is soon to come out, Prodigal Son and Deadly Class. So, yay, Mr. Krieger there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so right now in the story, Sabrina doesn't, she's hesitant. She doesn't want to go because she doesn't want to give up her mortal life. She doesn't want to lose her friends. And she doesn't want to lose her boyfriend, especially after they just got to the I love you stage. And
we should probably mention that they're not sleeping together, because that's one of the comments that I made when because they talk about like the Church of the Night being more free and open. Mm-hmm. Again, it's supposed to be in the very beginning. You're getting the sense that they're trying to say we're not like, you know, the people who worship God and Jesus. You know, this is not Christianity. Like, we're more freeing for women. But one of the first things they even say is Zelda makes a comment about how, like, has Sabrina and Harvey ever had sex? And mm-hmm. because they have to be virginal when they present themselves for signing the book. And I was like, yeah, that's your first sign that something's not right. Yeah. When I mean, clearly both, when you are required to stay virginal, it's like, yeah, this is something rough here for, even for the women.
And later Prudence says something that like oh, you really believe that we could have free will with the Dark Lord? Like, no, the Dark Lord exchanges power for servitude and free will. Like, we give up our free will and we become servants of his in exchange for power. And Sabrina asks something like, well, why can't we have both? And Prudence says, because that's what he's most afraid of, a woman with power and free will.
Yeah, it's Prudence. I mean, we haven't really talked entirely because we got the Weird Sisters, who are basically mm-hmm. these three girls who are going to the school that Sabrina's going to go to, you know, become a full-fledged witch. And they are basically harassing Sabrina. They put a curse on her, a blood curse on her, to keep her from signing in the book and everything. And to be fair, yes, they are the mean girls. They're not like doing this out of any sort of protection for Sabrina. Mm-mm. But they also, Prudence is just such a fascinating character. Like, it's like, I'm going to say all these characters are fascinating without being able to talk too much about them.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. That one scene in the cave just after they, you know, went after the boys who were picking on Susie, or not even picking on, that's the word that Hawthorne used. Yeah. I would use sexually assaulting Susie, because they lifted up her shirt, because Susie is very androgynous. Here she does not, she's definitely non-gender, she's not very non-gender conforming.
And so they lifted her shirt, and then at one point,
and Hawthorne said that the football players are picking on her. That's why Hawthorne is a dick.
And, so why don't,
and deserved all the spiders.
Why doesn't she just go to a different school?
Yeah, and all I see, I think, is like going like, yeah, you live in this, you know, small little town. My best is the only goddamn high school in the entire town. It's like, why don't you expel the football team? But of course, it's like, oh no, but they're the football team.
Exactly. I hate that shit.
So,
but it's like in almost every school.
Oh yeah. Well, it's, and I do like that. And of course, Miss Wardwall, mm-hmm. AKA other person can't be named yet, puts the bug in Sabrina's ear to get revenge on behalf of Susie, of course. Miss Wardwell has her own reasons for doing this.
Oh, but also we should say that the same boys, like Susie saw the same boys pulling down flyers for their,
the posters.
Yeah, posters mm-hmm. for their group, which they call Wicca. It's like women, it gives something, something, something.
I'll look it up for you. Hold on. I didn't write that down.
Basically women looking out for women. And they're going around the school tearing down the posters, and Susie sees them, and then she just starts seeing red and tries to tackle one of the boys, which...
But Susie's tiny.
Yes.
Like, just in general, like, just very, very short. Like, these are football players, and Susie is, you know, probably about, like, 5'2" compared... Like, I don't know how tall the actress is.
She is 5'2".
So, I'm good at guessing these things.
You
clearly
really are.
Oh, by the way, Wicca is Women's Intersectional Cultural and Creative Association, which was started by Roz, Sabrina's other friend, who's kind of like her best friend. Mm-hmm. And I love Roz, because she even like offhandedly mentions that she wanted to start a Sisters of the Black Panther Association.
Yeah.
And she
or
got turned down.
Daughters of the Roz Black Panther.
Daughters of the Black Panther. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly what it was called, but Roz is a goddamn feminist badass.
Yeah, she is.
And especially when you get to know who her father is and everything, like she's there for her friends. Like mm-hmm. Roz deserves a goddamn like best friend award. So, but yeah, it's so yes, that's what it stands for. I just want to say I found the answer for you.
Yeah, she tries to tackle one of the guys, which I mean, how do you get more badass than that? Yeah.
I know, that's like, holy, he's like, and of course it doesn't work, ends up with a split lip, and then she also gets suspended.
Yeah, because the boy, like, straight up punches her in the lip.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah, it's
knocks them down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, and so she gets suspended, and that's when Sabrina's trying to figure out how to get revenge, and Wardwall kind of puts the idea in her head of going like, you need to find somebody who'll help you take revenge and use against like their deepest fears. And that's when Sabrina's like, I'm gonna call the Weird Sisters and see if they'll help me mess with these boys, because the Weird Sisters are very
badass
vengeful. Yes, they are badasses. I mean, it's really funny because Sabrina's trying to like make a bargain with them, and they're just like, and she's like, the bargain is that they'll help her if she refuses to go to the school. If Sabrina refuses to go to school, they'll help her get revenge on the boys. And Sabrina's like, oh, like, sure, yeah, whatever, fingers crossed and everything. Totally, we'll do that. And they do, and they basically play into their homosexual fears for the boys. It's a scene where basically they pretend to, you know, be trying to have sex with them, but it's really like shadow images, and they're watching and taking pictures of the football player boys, four of them, making out with each other. Mm-hmm. And then they scare them even more by the three girls, the three Weird Sisters, doing the demon faces and scaring the shit out of them in the mines and everything.
Dark.
And oh, in the dark, yes, because like they turn off the lanterns and everything and scare the shit out of the boys and cause them to go running as Sabrina's like taking photos, because she's just like, what are you guys doing? I don't want them to get hurt. They don't hurt them, you know.
But they
basically now have like blackmail
boyhoods.
For ages. Yeah, that I love. I do like she's concerned, and she's like, yes, they won't, like, and Prudence goes like, yes, we took away their boyhoods for a while. And it's like, Sabrina, don't be pissed that they can't get hard-ons, okay? That's okay. We're fine. They sexually assaulted your friend.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
Although, and then, yes, that's when Prudence says, like, I know you're lying. I know that you are thinking about going to the school. We just like to mess with, you know.
With mortal boys.
Like, we'll still just have fun messing with mortal boys. Like.
And I'm sorry.
Yeah, and that's
Susie,
when Prudence,
I was trying to be like conscious of the pronouns I'm using, but
well, and Susie, I'm not going to mention anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be quiet about this because I'm just going to use what we know now. So
yeah.
Yes, although right now I'm probably giving away way too much. So yes. Anyways, so it's, and that's when of course Prudence mentions that, you know, it's still a life of servitude in order to get these powers, which, you know, it's. All these people are talking, like, you know, and what's interesting is Prudence's response when she finds out that Father Blackwood visits Sabrina personally.
Yeah.
And you also learn a little bit more about Father Blackwood is that he was actually Sabrina's father's mentor, and then Sabrina's father rose in ranks ahead of Blackwood. Mm. I'm just mentioning that because that's important.
That won't come up ever.
No, neither will the dead lost witch that was adopted by the mortal couple, didn't know he was a witch, and
was
then
stabbed to death.
Something killed him. Stabbed to death,
yeah.
Yes, but he had a witch's mark. And Father Blackwood is looking at the, because what happens is the body comes in because the parents like find out that their son has been stabbed.
And we should say that the aunts and Sabrina and Ambrose, they all live in a funeral home.
Mortuary. Yeah, funeral home, yeah. They're basically the supernatural version of the Fisher family from 6 Feet Under.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the best way of putting it. And it's so like Ambrose is receiving this body, and he finds a witch's mark on the kid because they're going to use the mortal boy's blood because they think he's mortal at the time for Sabrina's
baptism.
Sabrina signing her name to the book because they need it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, according to Zelda, oh, great, you know, Providence has looked down on us to, like, give us, or looked up on us, or
and
whatever, to give us this. Yes, it's a goodbye. We can use the blood while it's fresh and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Zelda, like, no shit's given about other people,
oh, no.
It feels like. But, Yeah, and then so Ambrose shows Father Blackwood, and Father Blackwood is acting all remorse about, you know, like this poor lost boy not able to meet up with his own kind. Mm-hmm. So it's, like I said, there's a lot of little things that I'm not trying to give too much away.
I kind of love that scene because he's just like, this poor boy, never able to take on his powers and never able to
find his path.
And they all look at Sabrina. Like, and it clearly feels like she...
Yeah, exactly. He's clearly laying it on Sabrina because she's standing there as they're looking over this poor kid's body. Mm-hmm. He's like, never being able to be with his own kind. It's like there's like an emphasis on certain words. You know, couldn't meet up and be friends with people of his own kind.
You know, they may as well have had like one of them going, hint, hint.
Somebody standing behind him with those cones they use for directing airplanes, like durr, 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 durr.
He's talking to you, Sabrina. Oh, I love that scene. Yeah,
it's but so and I don't know like how, because basically how it ends is Sabrina, because you know we got two episodes. Sabrina's about to, you know, she's going to go to her birthday party or she's going to go to a friend's Halloween party, and her aunts are preparing, so she's left the house, and Ambrose is basically saying like, look, I'm not going to say anything, but you better be back by midnight or else somebody's going to be really pissed off at you, as Harvey's like not picking up that something very weird is going to happen. Because mm-hmm. Harvey was under the belief, obviously, that Sabrina couldn't spend her 16th birthday with them because she had to do a special thing with her aunts and her family. Mm-hmm. And Ambrose is, of course, bound to the house, so he can't go anywhere. And Ambrose, God, always a goddamn wingman. I love fucking Ambrose so much. I will never stop talking about how awesome Ambrose is. I think one of the... One way, and this will definitely not be a spoiler to any part of his character, because he's already kind of shown this, is he is definitely the adult in the room who clearly has a better sense that of when shit is not right.
Yeah.
Like, because a lot of the adults in the room, whether they're mortal or witches or warlocks, they always kind of are so wrapped up in their own shit, they don't seem to sense when something might be off. Ambrose is the only one who's both the adult and is like, I sense that there's something very odd going on, and I'm going to look into why the fuck all my family members are hiding shit from me.
Yeah.
So,
and you can tell that's later, too, because like she ends up going to her what do they call it, dark baptism or unholy baptism?
Yeah, her dark baptism. Yeah.
And Father Blackwood starts saying that, you know, as we were saying before, like, basically you're giving up all your free will to him. You serve him now. And she's like, wait a minute, hold the fucking phone. You didn't say that before. You said the opposite. And he's like, just sign your fucking name, okay?
Here's the blood I just cut out of your palm and dropped it on there. Now sign it.
Yeah. And she sees a vision of her mom and dad with maybe her as a baby. And they're saying, I can't believe I didn't say this before. We should also say that Ambrose tells her earlier, look, if you're still not positive about what you want to do, then you need to find yourself an apple. What did he call it? The malice
fruit or something. Yeah, I can't remember the exact name of it. But yes, it's usually like the oldest. It's from the oldest tree. And you'll just know what it is. And she's trying to get like a good clear idea of what to do. So, and you get an idea. You also get to see like the history of the area, because you see that like witches were hung from, right, you know, the tree that she finds the old apple on.
Malice, sorry.
There you go. It's, trust me, this is going to be the name thing where we're going to suffer through it just like we do with Throne of Glass names. So that's all I'm going to use my excuse as.
But yeah, meanwhile, Ms. Wardwell is trying to, she's obviously serving Satan, and she's trying to get her to choose the dark path. And so once she finds out that, because Sabrina drops the thing that she's going to go apple picking. And so,
oh, how lovely.
So Ms. Wardwell's like, fuck. So she sends out like a little scarecrow
demon.
Yes, to
you know, basically the Jeepers Creepers, yeah. A lot scarier. If they had made Jeepers Creepers look like that, it would have been a lot scarier.
Yes. But of course, Salem comes to the rescue and takes down the scarecrow. She takes a bite of the apple, and it immediately has it rots and has maggots in there.
She sees all the hung witches in the tree and everything, and then Satan comes out of an image of Satan comes out, you know, with the horned hoofs and the ram's head.
The tree vagina. The tree grew a vagina, and out came Satan.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good approximation, actually.
A bunch of hanged witches and a tree giving birth to goat Satan.
Well, and the hanged witches is interesting because Sabrina, when she thinks that she could just tell Harvey the truth and everything will be okay, and then she erases his mind, mm-hmm. She actually talks about the actual history where there were a bunch of witches who were hung, and her family hung hanged. Back to Spellman family.
I think it's hanged. It's hung. It's hanged. Well hung.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, sorry. My English bad after a certain period of time.
It's one of those goddamn English not good words language. That doesn't make any sense. It should be hung, but whatever.
Yeah. Anyways, so the witches were hanged. And, the nooses were well hung. Anyways, so she mentions to Harvey before erasing his mind, because he obviously has a major freak out about this, is that the Spellman family was left behind in hiding, and continues to be the family that lives there. And you know, he freaks out, he raises her mind, but she sees, you know, the witch is being hung there because hanged. Yeah, English bad. English not always my friend. English,
trust me, I
English
know the
first
struggle.
Language, but English bad. Yes.
Well, she says that, yeah, that Ms. Wardwell,
14.
Before she was taken over.
Possessed, taken over, killed.
Yeah.
Because remember, she gets stabbed with some scissors, you know, in
the
throat.
In the neck.
Yeah.
But she explained that, apparently she explained in one of the classes that they basically had a witch hunt that was just as bad as Salem.
But is never talked about, so.
Because they don't want people to know that the covens are still there.
Mm-hmm. And the Spellman family is part of that one that hung back.
Yeah.
And so, but... Yeah, that's what she sees in the vision before she spits out the apple and goes on to make her decision, which she obviously is about to sign her name in the book, and then runs away, and everybody's angry at her, except for Ambrose, who kind of understands and pretends to put a ward up around the house to keep the other witches
out. I love that,
though,
when she's running away, Father Blackwell says, "Get her! Get her!"
Yes.
And there's a bunch of, trees and vines, reaching for her, trying to hold her in place, and it totally made me think of Evil Dead with the rapey trees.
Oh yes. Well, thankfully this was not the rapey trees. But yes.
Luckily, thank God.
I just like the fact that Ambrose is like anybody who's not of this house is going to burn, and I dare to take that step, and they don't. And Sabrina's like, "You did that?"
He's when did you have the time to do it?
I better start. Yeah. He's like, "I didn't. I gotta go start now."
And that's what I love about him, because just going off of what you were saying before, in that scene you could totally tell he's scared shitless. Because, mm-hmm. you know, the Father Blackwell alone could do many terrible, terrible things to him. But he's mm-hmm. there to protect.
He's got the whole posse behind him.
Yes.
Including the weird sisters, who are also there dressed in their own regalia for Sabrina's dark baptism.
Oh,
so
and a guy with a black goat.
Yeah.
I don't remember my 16th birthday, but I do know that I also had an old guy with a black goat there. That's all I remember. Yeah, you could tell that Ambrose.
So you're the one I read about.
I remember my 17th birthday like it was yesterday, but 16th not so much, except for the guy with the black goat.
I Yeah, I had a pretty lame 16th birthday. I just, birthdays kind of stopped mattering to me. I was like, can I get my driver's license? Good, yeah. I'm gone.
Yeah, that was exactly it. I started working and I got my license.
Yeah.
Yay, 16. Not so sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody made a big deal about it. Those MTV shows basically make you feel like a loser until you realize, oh, no, that's not true.
Exactly.
And granted, those shows were on after. Like, I had already turned 16.
I had a great 17th birthday with my friends, and I remember we were going to I was dressed up as Columbia from Rocky Horror because we were off to see a thing of Rocky Horror, my first time.
Late night show.
Yeah.
By the way, at first I thought she said Columbo, and I'm like, oh my God, you're obsessed. I was just as Columbo.
Honest to God, almost every year for Halloween, I dress up as Columbo's wife because you never see her. Okay. It's up for interpretation.
But if it weren't for the fact that nobody has the frame they discuss, I'd love to dress up from like Niall's wife from Frasier.
Exactly.
but only because her dimensions make no sense in a human existence.
And she's very, very delicate.
Maris.
Yes, Maris, that was it. But yeah, we ended up totally flirting really heavily with some guys, because as it turns out, they weren't putting on Rocky Horror that night, and so because my birthday is around Halloween, and we ended up going to I think 7-Eleven or something like that, and to get some slushies, as you do, and we ended up like really, really flirting heavily with these guys who were EMTs.
Wow.
And it was fantastic. And my friends sang a Beatles song to me, and it was good fun. But don't remember the 16th one, though. Maybe I blocked it out. I don't know. With my bloody black baptism.
Honestly, I think the only birthday that I remember was when my parents took me to Vegas for my 21st.
Ooh.
That's probably the one that I don't remember. Yeah, but even then, it's like I learned more about Vegas than I really want to, which is Vegas is loud, and mm-hmm. I don't know how anybody can live in Vegas because everything is so overstimulating.
Oh yeah,
you just can't wait to. Like, for me, I just couldn't wait to leave.
Oh, it was like to ask just so my much cousin Jenny. Nice. She lived in Vegas most of her life, I think.
Well, and I have one of my coworkers. Her daughter is a I think she's the principal of one of the high schools in the Las Vegas area. So I mean, clearly people do live there. Just for me, because I'm a little introverted hermit most of my time, and I like darkness and camping and being outdoors, it would probably, you know, drive me nuts to have all these flashing lights and constant activity.
I'm
it's not for me.
A highly sensitive person, so yeah, those like the constant noise and lights would probably be too much for me. But you know, really, really important, Nicolas Cage lives in Vegas.
So I have a way to combat this now, because here's the fun thing. Remember when the Weird Sisters and Sabrina are leading the football players off into the woods, and mm-hmm. you know, they're saying like, oh, what school do you go to? You guys go to Greendale.
No!
And Prudence is like, he's like, no, we go to a special school. And he's like, oh, in Riverdale? She's like, no, very elite. Let me put it this way. This universe takes place in the same universe as Riverdale. And there has actually been confirmation that it takes place in the same universe as Riverdale in later episodes. So if you want to play this game, I can find you all the Easter eggs that connect this show, each episode, to happenings in Riverdale.
And I know that in the first, I think it's the first episode, October Country, she has the thermos with the Archies on it.
Well, yeah. I mean, but to be fair, that was retro. Like, I can also point out all of those. I mean, everything from, like, the Sabrina comic book is obviously being referenced in the opening credits.
Right.
Because you have her big, huge, like,
because she came from the Archie comics.
Yes, she the Riverdale on Riverdale or the Archie comics, Katie Keene and Sabrina all exist within the same universe in the comics, and so they are existing as well in the same universe as Riverdale.
Yes,
so yes, if you want to play this game, I'm going to be ready for it every single time. So
yeah,
yes,
unfortunately, this is not the one to play the game on. But in this one, it was since Sabrina, the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina was based on the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina comics, which I believe came out in 2015. I should have put that in my notes. But anyway, we can't give her name yet, but they basically,
I know,
Betty and Veronica try to make a spell that would make Archie choose once and for all who he wants to date, and it's that spell that accidentally brings the demon spirit, whatever, that brings along Ms. Wardwell, the entity that's possessing Miss Wardwell.
Yes, and since that didn't actually happen in Riverdale, because as weirdly trying to be supernatural and absolutely soap opera bonkers off the wall crazy Riverdale is, everything that has been appearing to be supernatural is definitely not. So don't worry, that is not something that has happened in TV show, but I will be keeping tabs on every single episode, because yes, well, that was one of the reasons I wanted to also watch this, because I knew that this was where, because vengeance be mine, saith Jane, I can always bring that back to Riverdale if I really want to.
I just found it in my notes. It's 2014 that the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina came out, the comic, whereas this show came out in
2018.
Yeah, on October 26th, yeah. Just in time for Halloween.
Yep. And the fourth and final season is going to come out in December, and I will be watching. It's really weird. I actually didn't watch the third part or the third season when it immediately came out. I think I was busy watching a bunch of stuff for Broomflix. So, but then I finally like sat down and watched it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember why I love this show so much. And it's so good. It's such a good show. People need to be watching it. I'm trying to convince my sister to watch it right now, and she doesn't normally go for these shows, but I'm just like, just trust me on this one. You'll understand when you watch it why I want you to watch it, because it's not just about witches and everything. There is definitely a lot of talk about you know, women's rights, equality, yeah. Sex and gender equality as well. And obviously, you know, power. There's a lot of allegories and just other talking points that make this something beyond just a basic monster movie or horror movie type TV show. It's incredibly good. It's just so well written. Although I bring up monsters, I just remember one of my last little notes that I had was, I cannot hear the Monster Mash the same way anymore, because I now know the really crazy ass history of that song.
Really?
Because of its creator. So when they started playing it, I was like, oh, for the love of God, no, I can't hear this without hearing all of his remakes and parody, his own created parodies of the song Monster Mash.
I might have to make that a mini-sode, because now I have no idea what you're talking about, but I whenever I hear it, I think of 30 Rock with the werewolf bar mitzvah.
Yeah, no, well, I think about, like, when I first think about the Monster Mash, I think about that Simpsons episode where the guys are accidentally playing the Monster Mash on both Valentine's Day and on the radio, and he's like, why are you playing that on Valentine's Day? He's like, well, you know, the monsters are getting together and everything, and the radio G's like, you played the wrong song. He's like, why do you have to keep pushing this? That's what I think about when I thought about, but now, like, because I know it's history, now when I hear it, I'm just sort of like, oh dear God, it's, I don't know if I can even do the history justice for how funny the goddamn history is without making it sound so fucking tragic, because I'm not a comedian. But I heard about it from a comedian, and that's the only, or somebody who's very well at comic timing, where I'm just like, oh god, now that's in my head.
Oh my.
So yeah. So now I can't hear it the other way without hearing all of the parody versions of it.
Damn. Well, now I've got to look into that. So
yeah, it's a one-hit wonder that he really tried to cash in on that one-hit wonder, Bobby Boris Pickett. Mm. He worked as hard as he could to make that work over and over and over again.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well,
anyways,
I'm trying to think if
it could be a mini-sode if you really want it to, but yes.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else left to cover in October Country or The Dark Baptism.
No, I mean, we're going to get into, I mean, you know it because you have watched a couple mm-hmm. episodes ahead. We're going to get obviously into, obviously, deeper character development and darker stories. And again, you're going to see that obviously it doesn't matter, both churches controlled by the patriarchy, whether it's, you know, the Christian church or the Church of Night, is definitely a bad, 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 bad thing.
But they don't.
So
I mean, I've gone a couple of episodes ahead of time, but like they haven't yet talked about the Path of Light.
I think that the idea is that the Path of Light is supposed to be Christianity.
I see.
That's kind of, I think, what they are alluding to, and they kind of allude to it later on in a play, and that's about as much as I'm going to say. But you get the idea that that's kind of what they're alluding to. So,
well, cool beans. Yep. So, yeah, I think we covered it pretty well.
Please,
a little schizophrenic,
everybody, watch this show. watch this show. It's so, so good. Yeah. I usually wouldn't recommend people watch most CW shows because I know that most of it's like my favorite kind of like candy, and it's not everybody's. But this is one of those shows where it's just like, just watch it, because underneath it all, there's a lot going on than just a, you know, basic teen drama.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting, and I feel like it's very well acted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. Oh god, the character development. Ugh! Punch wall. Okay. Anyways, sure you heard that one.
I guess this is the time where I say, please listen, subscribe, rate, and review Bedknobs and Broomflicks on Apple Podcasts, especially, and over on Podchaser and all other podcast platforms. It helps other people find us, and if you do it on Apple Podcasts, it helps bump us up to the top when people are searching. So if you can, we'd greatly appreciate it. Remember, you can find Bedknobs and Broomflicks on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter at Broomflicks. And you can write to us at broomflicks@gmail.com. We love the correspondence. Remember, that's BROOMFLICKS. You know it's enjoyable because we have licks in the end. You can find me on the weekly podcast, Cage's Kiss, the Nicolas Cage podcast. We just covered Jiu-Jitsu with the legendary, fucking amazing, brilliant Lynn Kabasinski. So, oh, so excited about that. You got to check it out. Also, check me out as Lila in Dispatches of Disassociation and as Patrice and Lieutenant Murphy in Coyote's Bluff. That was a lot of fun. Jane, where can the people find you?
Oh, you can find me using my partner's limb to beat back zombies while shouting out, I am no man.
As usual. I'd like to thank Doug Walters and Red Wire Black Wire for allowing us to use their song Compass. Go check them out. They're amazing. And their new band, Oddness, that's Oddnesse.
And you can check us out on our next episode, where we will be covering the next two episodes, episodes 3 and 4 of season 1 of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which you can binge for free on Netflix.
Woohoo!
Or you could just watch the whole thing.
Just do it.
Just do it. Do it.
And until then, what's that got to do with my knob? Witch knob.
Do it. Do it.
Do it.
Just do it.